But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That will feel quite odd, but let me hopefully explain it in a way that means that we are encouraged from it. Let's pray together. Father, please would you open our ears, our eyes, our hearts to the joy and the comfort that's here, to meet our pain with your medication, that you might comfort even as we dwell in a land of deep sorrow and darkness. Amen. Our relationship with time is rather complicated, I think. We are often thankful for the time that we have and the time that we have had. We call it spending time, don't we? A precious resource that we spend whether we like it or not. What about you? I suspect we're all quite similar. We don't like to spend time idly, perhaps in a traffic jam. I don't know about you. Do you get cross when you're stuck there in a traffic jam or on a delayed train or on the phone to the doctor's surgery for yet another appointment, 8 o'clock, on the dot, trying to sort something out? Waiting feels like a waste of time, doesn't it? That precious time that we have. Well, Advent, the period we've just entered today, is a time of deliberate waiting. Indeed, Advent is a time when we are reminded that we have to wait. Sometimes we have to wait because there is nothing else to do. There are some things that we can't fix. The brokenness of the world that we experience, that many people around the world experience. We might be feeling it for all sorts of reasons. I guess for loss particularly, but perhaps in all sorts of other ways as well. The relationships we don't seem to be able to mend. The mistakes we made in the past that we can't go back and fix. The conversations we had that we wish we could unhave. Or didn't have that we wish we could. That might have changed the course of things. That might have changed the hard, sad things. The deepest, most profound sense of the brokenness of the world and the way in which we cannot fix it comes, I think, with the death of a loved one, doesn't it? We can't bring them back. We can't unsay what was said, nor can we tell them how we felt or what we were thankful for. Perhaps you got that chance to have those conversations, some of us will have done, to say the right things at the right time. That can bring a measure of peace, can't it? But the loss, however it happened, is profound and deep. Advent is a time of waiting. Of waiting for that pain to be healed. Because all we can do is wait. Advent is modelled on the life of God's people in the Old Testament. From the very beginning, God made great and grand promises that this world and all of its problems would be healed one day. And Jeremiah in Lamentations shows us that for many centuries that didn't come to fruition, and God's people really felt that. And right now, the world can feel cursed because it is cursed. Pain and suffering in childbirth, in work, in relationships, all all broken in some respects because sin came into the world, because we prefer moral darkness to the light of God's goodness. And God has given us what we've asked for, independence from him, our autonomy. And there's a darkness to that. Don't know where you stand on the bill that was being debated on Friday in government. I don't want to particularly comment except to observe that the argument for assisted dying was about autonomy. A lot of the case was being made for the right to be independent of everybody else and do things our own way. And that is how we've been with God from the beginning. And all the pain and all the suffering in the world has sprung from that root. And now even our very best days are shot through with pain. But God in his great goodness has promised a return of the light, a hope to those still living in the darkness. That's what we'll be celebrating through Christmas this year. A child who would be born, on whose shoulders the government of the world would rest, and he would die. He would die to conquer death and rise again to offer eternal and glorious life to anyone who would have it. But it hadn't happened yet, and so God's Old Testament people waited and waited for hundreds, indeed thousands of years, waiting for the Messiah to come. And Jesus, he did come. He came and he died and he rose. He conquered death and opened the way for immortal life for his people. But we're not at the end yet. He hasn't brought a final end to suffering, separation, pain and death. Not yet he will. That's the light that we share and celebrate at Christmas. But not yet. We still live in the same world as Jeremiah, with the same pain and the same waiting and the same hunger for it to be fixed. Because we don't wait for Jesus to come the first time now, we wait for him to come again. To finish what he started, to bring pain and death to an end. So we continue to have Advent. I nearly said celebrated there. That isn't quite right, I think, is it? We observe Advent, bringing our experience of waiting, of loss and pain and darkness, into line with the great traditions of God's people and the spiritual realities they represent. And so our service this afternoon, as the weather darkens, as the sky goes black outside, is a space to reflect on the pain that we carry, to gather to recognise that we are waiting for something, waiting for healing. Some of us will be carrying very raw wounds, a bereavement in the last days and weeks. But others have come to this service for decades. Think of a lady who's now passed away, but she was here with us every year, 20 years or more after her husband passed away. Because she still grieved. Everybody else had moved on and assumed that she had moved on, but she hadn't, couldn't. She was in pain. Even if the rest of the world acts as if that's all past and we can just move on. They say, don't they, the ones we have loved never really leave us. But I think that's a lie, isn't it? It's the pain of the loss that never leaves us, precisely because they have left us. Sometimes if I have a burial to take up at Tranby Lane Cemetery, I'll wander amongst the gravestones while I wait for the hearse to arrive. I look sometimes for the ones that I've buried just to remind myself of the people and the families. There are always so many more gravestones than the last time I was there. I'm sometimes struck by how glib some of the statements that are put on gravestones are. twee comments that try to pretend that the pain isn't real. They're just beyond the veil. They're just in the next room. As though that's some sort of comfort. As if having someone in the next room that you couldn't see or talk to or hug again actually made any difference. They might as well be on the moon. Isn't true, is it? Death is horrible. It seems so final. There's no happy ever after, and we know it and we feel it deeply. And that infects our waiting with sadness. We wait, but we wait for what? What are we waiting for, God? But what if? What if in a deeply strange way it is true? What if the waiting will lead to the satisfaction of all our hopes and a reunion? That, of course, is what Christianity offers. Resurrection life at the end of our days and eternity with Christ and also with all of those who've died in faith. But there's more. And this more is the thing I want to just show you from that passage in Hebrews for a moment. Because it's not just that we wait for God to deal with death for us. It is that in a sense, all of those who've died trusting in Jesus are not just in the next room, they're actually in the same room with us. To understand this requires us just to tap into the very deepest realities of the universe for a moment. That's where we've got to go to find hope in our darkest moments, to lift the lid on spiritual things and to look into them. The promise of Christianity is that every Christian is connected to Jesus. And by our trust in him and by his spirit in us, we live in him and he in us. He is where we are. Jesus is amongst us right now by his spirit. And really importantly, we are where he is. That's really the point that Hebrews chapter 12 is making. We might be in pain, we might be suffering, we might be here in the bleak midwinter, but we're also somewhere else if we're trusting in Jesus. And I'd like to invite us to be trusting in Jesus today. I taught this passage just a few weeks ago to our children, as well as the adults here, trying to make sense of the union of all Christian peoples all over the world and down through the centuries. And it's really stuck with me. And I want to show you again from verse 22. Our writer says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." We're all here, aren't we, this afternoon? We're sat in the pews here. We long, I think, in our deepest hearts for a place where there is no more pain or suffering or tears. And our writer says, that's Mount Zion. It's the city of the living God. It's the heavenly Jerusalem, a place where there can be no more pain or suffering or death anymore. It's a glorious city. Thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, the church, everyone gathered together. It's a glorious place. That is the hope. That's what the world will be like when this world is over, when the pain and suffering and the darkness here becomes only light. But our writer says, to every Christian heart, you have come to Mount Zion. You're here, we're here. But there is a sense in which every Christian who is connected to Jesus by faith, every one of us is also where Jesus is. We have already come to Christ. We already have our seat at the table in the heavenly Jerusalem. We're gathered with the angels and we're gathered with the whole church of the firstborn. With Moses and David and Jeremiah too, to the church of Jesus. Because the moment someone puts their trust in Jesus, they don't just become connected to him, we become connected to every other person who's ever been connected to him. We are one family from all over the world and down through the centuries, all of us gathered together to him. That's the hope. Perhaps we're here and actually we feel lonely. That's our sadness, that we don't have family, or we don't have family here. The church is the family we were made for. Hundreds of millions across the world and down through the centuries. And spiritually, every Christian is always together with every other Christian. Even those who died a year, 10 years, 1,000 years ago. Every single person who's come before us. It's not that our loved ones never really leave us. It's that they never really leave Jesus. They're still alive with him. And we don't leave Jesus, and so we're alive with him. So that we are bound in the deepest possible way to them still. Even if for a season our lives are separated and we live in the place of sadness, there is hope. There is hope that we will see them again, all of them. I don't know whether the loved ones you grieve for at the moment were trusting in Jesus. I can guarantee that all of us have ancestors who were. That great chain of being back to the beginning of the human race. The cycles of life and death that link us past and future too will one day come to an end, and all believers will live together with Christ. Of course, I keep saying this, it's a reality for every believer, everyone who trusts in Jesus. That's why Christmas is so important. So it matters profoundly that we come to the end of our lives trusting in Christ. I don't know, I never ask, I don't think we can ever be entirely sure where people stand when they go to meet their Maker. And it might be very hard for us to acknowledge. What I want to encourage us to do this afternoon is to make sure that we know where we are with Jesus. That hope that brings light into the darkness. Life in the place of death, paradise in the place of sadness and separation, and to make sure we know where we are with God, so that when it's our time to go, our loved ones who are left behind us can grieve well, knowing that we are safe with Christ for all eternity. Let's take a moment to reflect. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give us a little bit of time just to reflect on what we've seen from Hebrews. And then I'm going to play the video for us. As I said, it's a song. The words from the song are in your service sheet. But please use it as a time of reflection. And as they lead us through the story of Christmas, from the brokenness and sadness of this world to the hope that Jesus brings. Let me pray first. Our Father, we are living in a broken world, and our hearts are broken. We long for that to be healed. We long for a world that is healed. We long for no more death or crying or pain or suffering anymore. Thank you that that is possible because of Christmas. Thank you that Jesus, who is the light of the world, stepped into the deepest darkness, that he might conquer death and rise to immortal life, that he might bring us to immortal life too. Please would you soften our hearts to him, and please help us to really weigh our own hearts, that we might be trusting him. And as we trust him, to know that we can be reunited with all those who in faith have gone before us, and all those who in faith will come after us too. For Jesus' sake. Amen.